But today, I will be reading God's word in the middle of sermon, just to make, I think it'll be more effective in that way. Our title of today's sermon is, Where Did Jesus Go? Where did he go? Very important question. A few weeks ago, Pastor John and I decided to talk about Palm Sunday leading to Easter Sunday and Ascension Sunday, though there is a church calendar that they celebrate, which comes 50 days after the Easter Sunday. Nonetheless, we'll talk about this Ascension today of our Lord Jesus Christ. And my simple question throughout is, where did he go? And that's a very difficult question to answer. If I hand out a paper today, right now, and let's take a quiz and test, and tell me where Jesus is now, where did he go at the Ascension, I am not sure how many of you will get it right. A few weeks ago, my daughter, Caris, and I, we were having just small conversation, and she was excited about Easter egg hunt. And I tried to explain to her, you know, Jesus was dead, but God raised him. And now he ascended into heaven, and he's sitting at the right hand. She asked? She said, Jesus is alive in our hearts, right? And I was shocked that she could distinguish between that. I said, no, Jesus is not alive in your heart, but Jesus is really, physically alive, sitting in heaven. Of course, Jesus is in your heart by virtue of Holy Spirit, but risen Christ is not in your heart. He's at the right-hand side of God, full body, resurrected Christ. I know it's cute to say Jesus is in your heart. Mysterious, yes, but I was trying to explain to her Jesus is in heaven, actually, and she said, and she asked, heaven's far away, right? How are you going to answer that question? So that's what we are. I'm going to pretend that I do not know the answer, but try to hear me. We could debate all we want, all day, 24/7, about creation, justification by faith alone, doctrine of church, Christology, that is virgin birth, sinless two natures of Christ, even baptism. What a debate there is. Lord's Supper, millennial kingdom. We could talk about all this. But when it comes to this simple question, where did Jesus go? Many of our standard textbooks do not answer that question. I can name all, but I went back just to check up on that. Did I miss that question? Barkoff, Voss, Hodge, they don't talk about that. More recent ones, if you know the big names, Horton, John Frame, even MacArthur came out with Biblical Doctrine. All the systematic books do not answer my question. And let me refine my question a little bit. I am not asking, what is heaven like? That question we could answer, because there are a lot of data from the scriptures. And I am not content with the answer, where is heaven, what is heaven? And answer usually is, well, heaven is kingdom of God, or kingdom of heaven. That doesn't answer my question. Where did Jesus go? Well, Jesus is at the right-hand side of God. That doesn't answer my question either, because I want to know where he went. So, my question really is simple. Where is Jesus now? And where is heaven located? I want to know that question. Do you know that question? Do you know the answer to that question? This is a very important question because, first, veracity of Christian faith rests upon this answer. What people say, doctrine of sola fide, that is, you are justified by faith alone, is the doctrine upon which the church stands or falls, right? You've heard that. But I was thinking, if resurrection and ascension didn't happen, if especially ascension didn't happen, then sola fide does not matter. It's basically human imagination. So, in order for us to believe by faith alone in Christ for our salvation, there has to be Christ who is raised from the dead, and there has to be Christ who went into heaven. But when you start talking about these things, it sounds so mythical and sounds so childish. And if you're like me, I cannot believe what I'm saying. And I don't really understand what I'm saying, right? But it's very important. And second reason why this is so important is it affects all of us and our destinies and future eternal home. It affects us. Very important. So I am going to try to answer that question today. And I hope you listen. First section that I wanted you to just briefly hear is from the confession. Our confession. We use Westminster Confession of Faith as our confession of the church. And what does it say? Usually it gives us full answer. Remember 10 commandments? They gave full answer. But what about this question, ascension of Christ? Chapter 8, Christ the mediator. It says, he ascended into heaven and there sitteth at the right hand of his Father making intercession and shall return to judge men and angels at the end of the world. There's not much. Basically, it says he ascended into heaven. Where is that? How is that? Doesn't explain. Chapter 32, regarding our resurrection. The souls of the righteous being then made perfect in holiness, we're talking about the death, are received into the highest heavens. Highest heavens. Our souls, immediately after death, our souls go into the highest heavens. Larger Catechism 53. How was Christ exalted in his ascension? Very important question. How was Christ exalted in his ascension? What does it say? What's the answer? Basically says, he visibly went up into the highest heavens. That's all there is in our confession. Right? I want to know more than that, but it's simply saying, keep repeating that phrase. He went to highest heavens, and our spirits, souls will go there, and Christ visibly went up into highest heavens. So where is heaven? It doesn't answer. You understand what I'm trying to say? So I went to the second part, and I asked actually Google. Believe it or not, I just wanted to see if Google could answer that question. Really, I asked Google Assistant, where is risen Christ now? He or she said, I found a few risen Christ near you. And I said, whoa. And he gave me churches, the names of churches around me. And actually, I asked Siri too. I know it sounds a little silly, but I asked Siri too. Where is Jesus now? And I think it's she. She said, even though she says I don't have gender, she said, sorry, I couldn't find Jesus in your context. Really, he seriously said that. A few years ago, I remember listening to a sermon by John MacArthur. And the series was on heaven. And I remember listening to that sermon in Grand Central Parkway. And I was thinking, that sounds wrong, I was thinking. So I tracked this sermon down. There's a full transcript in his website, and I am going to read a few quotes from that. A little bit lengthy, but try to listen. This is John MacArthur. Title, Where Heaven Is and What It Is Like, and it was preached in 1987, long time ago. This is transcript. It says, you say, well now, where is it? He says, it is up, heaven is up. You say, well, what up where? He says, up in the third heaven. And beyond the space is the third heaven. That's when I was saying, beyond the space is the third heaven. And he says, it is beyond them all. You say, well, how far is that? I'm glad you asked, he says. And he launches into this satellites, 1958, 70,000 miles, on and on. And he says, we are sending them out farther and farther and farther, and so far none of them are in heaven. None of them are there. You say, well, how far do you have to go to get there? That's the heart of the question. I want to know. He says, well, let's think about it. Little science lesson. And he gives all these miles. Moon is how far, sun is how far. And he says, now, let's get moving at that speed, and maybe we can get to heaven. Now get this. This is transcript. He's talking. Jesus said to the thief on the cross, you ready for this? Today you will be with me in paradise. Now, folks, that is fast. You understand that that is moving. You say, how can that be? I don't know. And he talks about speed of light. We go that far. And conclusion, he says, is this. The heaven, where is it now? His answer, it encircles our universe. Where our universe ends, that's where heaven starts. That's his answer. And would he still hold on to this sermon that he preached like 30-some years ago? Recently, he came out with this systematic book, Biblical Doctrine. I looked up this week and sounds similar. My obvious quick criticism of what MacArthur would say is that he is putting creation, universe, how many galaxies are there, doesn't matter, but it's still creation. And heaven is still the creation of God, but God chose to dwell in it. It is not extension of God, heaven is. Only God is eternal. But putting creation and heaven, the abode of God, in the same continuum, as if we travel far out into galaxy, millions of miles away, light, speed of light, I don't know how many years, then we will reach heaven, seems to me, is not right. It doesn't sound right. Putting creation and creator on the same continuum is, I don't think, is right answer. Now, let us read God's word. What does the Bible say? Before we read, I want to tell you, everything that we know about Jesus' life, even ascension, comes from the Gospels. Four Gospels. Do you know how many Gospels talk about ascension of Christ? Only one. Mark does, but if you have ESV Bible, it says that section does not appear in the earliest manuscript. So Mark, that is, let's say, the chapter 16 letter part is added unto then Mark later, letter time. So, how many Gospels to talk about the ascension of Christ? Only one, Luke. And I've given you a more fully described section from Book of Acts, chapter 1. Luke is also the author of Book of Acts. So, with that question in mind, could you and would you read with me these two passages that I've given you and pay close attention to the question that I've been asking? Luke chapter 24. You are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending forth the promise of my Father upon you. But you are to stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. And he led them out as far as Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And they, after worshiping him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple praising God. Not much there. He was blessing them, and he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. That's all there is in the Gospels. A single sentence. Now you go to the Book of Acts. Dr. Luke is also the author of, and let us read the sections of it. Chapter 1. The first account I composed, Theophilus, about all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day when he was taken up to heaven. After he had, by the Holy Spirit, given orders to the apostles whom he had chosen. Jump to verse 9. And after he had said these things, he was lifted up while they were looking on, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And as they were gazing intently into the sky while he was going, behold, two men in white clothing stood beside them. They also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into the sky? This Jesus who had been taken up from you into heaven will come in just the same way as you have watched him go into heaven. So, few observations from these texts. First, it's very brief. The scripture does not give us all the answers that we would like to have. Then, what should our response be? Bible is content to give us what it gives us, and I would say, so should we. That's the first observation. You do not speculate beyond what is spoken here. And you humbly approach the scriptures, I would say. I know you may say, well, that's pastor, you're talking. No. Attitude matters. You could come to this question and speculating with your question and even sneering. You see, that sounds ridiculous. No. If you're a true Christian, you humbly approach the Word of God, and we affirm the absolute authority of Scripture and sufficiency of the Scripture. What God has revealed to us is sufficient, and we bow down before our good, gracious God. That's the first observation. Second, manner in which Jesus departed. If you have taken careful observation, it is all spoken in passive form. He was taken up. He was lifted up. I don't want to read too much into it, but it is all passive, and I'm sure there's some intention behind it. And I don't think he flew away like Superman, in a sense, like going away. That's not the phrase. He was taken up. And he didn't suddenly disappear from the disciples like he was gone in a second, like Star Trek. It's not what is happening. Over and over again, whatever's here today, he was received up, he was taken up, he was lifted, all in passive. Basically, Jesus remains passive here. And only thing that I could say from this is that just as God raised dead Jesus, now God is bringing him home. The picture is not Jesus, I'm done and going up. But now he's completed his mission, and the Father is raising the dead Jesus from the grave. And now, after 40 days later, God the Father is raising him to his abode. That's what is happening. Jesus is acted upon. That's my second observation. The third observation is very critical, but his ascension was visible, real, and physical, that is bodily. They didn't see Jesus' spirit leaving his body. But as you know, Jesus had resurrected body, and he walked around after resurrection for how many days, do you know? Book of Acts, hey. He didn't immediately go up. He stayed 40 days on earth. 40 full days on earth, resurrection. Once again, I think I've talked about this. You may answer, what did Jesus do for 40 days? He showed himself to many disciples. But we don't know full detail. And you may say, Jesus, why didn't you go up to Jerusalem and show yourself? Show yourself. Prove that you're alive. Once again, that's not how God works. I talked about this a long time ago. But very important that Jesus went up with full body, resurrected by that mysterious body that we know he ate. He goes through the doors and etc. But that's how he went up. Full body, not spirit. I have a few more, but let me just conclude now. So where did Jesus go? Where is heaven? Without speculation, I will just say these things. This heaven, this is my conclusion. This heaven, though it is a place, a specific location where Jesus went with his resurrected body, it does have a spiritual dimension. And it is not an extension of our universe, as MacArthur was saying. Because in chapter 8, book of Acts, Stephen is being martyred, and what does he see? Being full of the Holy Spirit, he gazed intently into heaven and saw the glory of God. So Spirit opens his eyes before he dies, and Stephen sees basically the throne of God. I don't know what's happening, but I know it is not physical. It is spiritual. Holy Spirit is opening and showing it to him. And he says, "Behold, I see the heavens opened up." And that phrase is repeated by Isaiah, Ezekiel, and even Paul. All Holy Spirit opens their eyes and they see God, God's throne at least. So, I just want to say, where is it? I know it's not what MacArthur says. It's not where our universe ends and there is spiritual realm. That confuses the creation and creator. I really don't think that's the right way to go about it. But he also went up into the sky. They were gazing, remember. But cloud enveloped him. So many theologians will say that's glory cloud. Glory cloud is like special cloud, miraculous, God's presence cloud. But I'm not sure if that is the case because they were looking into the sky, far away, because that's where he was going. So did he fly all the way out into the atmosphere and went up and up and galaxies and he was still traveling, flying away? I do not think so. It's just mysterious. I will just quote John Piper. He says it well. But this is, I think, where we should just end. I think, he says, we can say with confidence that where God dwells is not a geographic place that we could go to in a spaceship. Nor does it have spatial dimensions as we know them. And he says, God, he is outside the universe in a dimension of reality that is perfectly suited to his own being and existence. God is beyond the created universe that is the highest and true heaven. The above all created material universe, heaven, and the dwelling place of God. So, I cannot fully answer that question. Where is he now? Where did Jesus go? He went up, but I don't think he was traveling millions of miles of throughout galaxies. But God took him out, and he went into the presence of God. Where is it? We should be content with what Bible says, and basically John Piper, it is outside of our universe. It's not a spaceship that we could take and go to place. But it is fitted for his own being, and it's the dwelling of God. That's where we should live it. But before I'm done, I'll take just a few more brief moments to talk about very, very important lesson in relation to this, just a little bit. But try to pay attention and please give me hearing with nuances and try to understand this. Let's talk about heaven briefly. I know this is not a sermon about heaven, but it is related to that. Why does the Bible not talk about heaven much? Usual answer that I've heard is that, well, you cannot understand it, first of all, and it's too good, then you will actually be tempted to commit suicide. I've heard a pastor say that. It is true that there is not enough to quench our probing minds, but there is enough. And it is a shame for pastors not to talk about this and for Christians not to know from whatever is revealed to us. To talk about heaven we have to distinguish, distinguish, and distinguish. And I'm going to distinguish heaven in two ways. Present heaven, where Jesus is now, which is temporal heaven. That's where our souls go immediately after death, but it is temporal because we are awaiting, we will be awaiting for the resurrection of the body. Very important. So I want to distinguish heaven now as present, current heaven, where Jesus is now. Where? I don't know exactly. But where he is heaven, but it is a temporal one. And I know it's a counterintuitive, but stay with me. You have to distinguish between present temporal heaven versus future heaven that is eternal heaven. Upon Jesus' second coming, we will be resurrected with our bodies. We will have resurrected body, and there will be final judgment, the white throne judgment. And then how and where does our human story ends here? Where we are going to spend the rest of eternity is called what? New heavens and the new earth. And it merges actually in chapter 21 of Revelation. And where we are going to spend the rest of eternity is on a renewed, resurrected, new earth. So when we talk about heaven, everybody just do not distinguish. But what we normally talk about heaven, when we think about eternal heaven, is actually earth, new earth. Do you understand that? It's very important that you distinguish the two and understand what I'm trying to say. Revelation 21, verse 1 through 3, I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. Verse 3, and I heard a loud voice from throne saying, behold, the tabernacle of God, the dwelling of God is among men, and he will dwell among them. So, long story short, at the end, what happens is the heavenly city comes down. God renews the earth, and God makes his dwelling place, not in heaven, but in new earth. That's the significance of that verse 3. But I cannot go in. I know it sounds maybe a little weird. Is Pastor Sam a little bit weird? No, that's what actually what Bible is saying. And I'll conclude with this paragraph that I wrote down, and I'll be done. So where is Jesus now? That abode of God, the place God chose to dwell, but that does not coincide with the being of God. That place where Jesus is, that's where the souls of the righteous will go, but will await the future resurrection of body. And that current heaven where Jesus is now is a temporal place awaiting for that new earth, new heavens and new earth. Therefore, we are looking forward to be with the Lord Jesus Christ, which is far better than here. But yet the Bible points us toward the heaven that is far better than present temporal heaven, that is new earth. That new earth is where triune God will make his residence among us. Not up there, but down here. So what I'm looking forward to is not this present, current, temporal heaven without body, but eternal heaven, but actually that is new earth. That's where my Redeemer lives. To be with that triune God is my desire. And really doesn't matter where nor how, just there. I was thinking, I cannot answer that. That is the hope that we have in Christ Jesus, all of you. I cannot fully answer the question. Bible does not answer that question fully, but there is enough. And you and I, we should be looking forward, actually, to be with Christ. But current, present heaven is temporal. But with resurrected body, we will dwell with God in eternal new earth, in eternal heaven with resurrected body. How is that going to be? No idea. But let us worship him and rejoice in that glorious hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Oh, our God, we thank you that you conquered death by being raised from the dead, but we thank you that you didn't stay here, but you ascended. Because only by ascension, you are coronated as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And there you sit. You sit there to judge. You sit there to rule over entire universe, even now. And help all of us be heavenly-minded people. Because we are so fixed upon the things of the earth, we are so materialistic, we are so discouraged by these temporal things that happens to us. But where you went, though we cannot fully comprehend, create in us the desire to be with you and look forward to that eternal place where, God, you said you will come down and your tabernacle, your dwelling will be with us so that you'll be our God and we'll be your people. Help us fix our desires and eyes upon that day, the final victory over sin and death and sin-cursed world and sin-cursed bodies, though redeemed, I know you will fully redeem it when you return. So create in us that desire to be with you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.